Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we are covering The Robot Wars Extreme Warriors Season 2 Grand Final!
The United States Championship is on the line.
Yeah.
I do find it funny that it is kind of called the Grand Final, despite the fact it's not the last episode.
I mean, it's the Grand Final of the tournament.
True. But, yeah, because it was the way, obviously, they'd done it last year. They'd done all the sideshow stuff before, and then ended on the Grand Final, which was all in one episode. But, you know, we're getting the Grand Final halfway through the season.
Yeah, not quite halfway. I mean, we're nine out of 13.
Okay. Exaggeration went up 1,000,000% last year.
Yep. Did you know that 87.5% of statistics are made up on the spot?
Wow.
Anywho, shall we get to the first match? Because this is now a straight knockout tournament.
Yep, 8 robots go in, 1 robot survives to become the US champion. And we start with the defending champion from Rancho Palos Verdes. That's as good as I'm probably going to get. It's Panzer Mark IV.
Which is a cracking robot. Very much the most... the most successful pusher bot not called Tornado.
Well, at least it doesn't need to get a victory. And its opponent, from Aragon, Rosie the Riveter.
One of two Juggabots at this event.
Yep. I was wondering if it was very strategic in the way that they had Rosie the Riveter right at the start and Triceratops right at the end, so that in hopes that the absolute latest that the two of them would meet each other would be in the final.
Oh no, that is a very deliberate of, oh, wouldn't it be funny if the grand final was Juggabot, Juggabot?
So whichever team wins, the team wins the fucking trophy.
Yeah. So... this is a... right. I'm going to come to... I'm about to say something that's going to get me very, very unpopular.
No.
I prefer pusher-pusher matches to razor matches.
Ooh, you bad boy.
Because...
you bad, bad boy.
Razor matches... see, having seen them all kind of strung together as close as they are, Razor matches are only interesting when Razor fails.
Yeah, now we're at the part where Razor barely fails.
Look, the interesting fight, the only really interesting fight I can remember Razor having where it won was the Behemoth fight.
Yeah.
Every other fight is pretty much identical. Like, you maybe get the occasional weird Kraken one, like the Chaos 2 match, or... but the best Razor matches are the ones where it loses.
That's quite an interesting look on that, actually.
So, anyway, these two robots are fighting tooth and nail for position.
Mm-hmm.
it's a great display of driving skill, and it's not even the best display of a Juggerbot that we're going to get in this episode.
It's like the beginning of it, like the two of them go so hard that it's almost like halfway through the fight, Panzer starts to get tired.
Unfortunately, Rosie's a little too enthusiastic.
Mm.
And that turns out to be its downfall.
Indeed.
Because what then happens is it goes for a charge, and you just see this moment of Panzer going, nah, and ducks and jives out the way.
Yep, it's like a matador with the red towel, and Rose of the River is the bull, where it's just like, oh, way! And then Panzer just moves right out of the way, and Rosie just goes, oh, right into the pit. Boom.
And yeah, this is a great pusher-pusher match.
Mm.
I wonder if we'll get any more of those.
There wasn't a second of, you know, dead air. It was just the two of them just going hell for leather.
Well, it's the only way you're going to win.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, and now for something completely different.
Oh, yes.
Match two. From Illinois, Conquering Clown.
This is a legend of the sport, and I will not have him disrespected.
Oh, Meg disrespects the fuck out of them.
I mean, to be fair, it's not the one he dislikes the most.
Yeah, well, we'll go into that after the fight. And his opponent, from California, Destructive Criticism.
Which is a four-wheel disc bot and dark horse in this episode.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this is really a good match. A very tactical match.
Yep, Conquering Clown out there with its man-in-the-air mask face.
Yeah. So Conquering Clown, it's basically a giant lawnmower.
Mm-hmm. It takes some time, but eventually you start to see the damage by Destructive Criticism. Like, especially, like, there's this one good jab that he gets, like, on the back of the clown, and it just opens him right up.
Yeah. And it's quite clear early on something's wrong in one of Conquering Clown's wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not quite moving freely, which is fine until you end up driving on to the flame pit.
Yep. It's not ideal.
Yeah.
And you have a very
flammable face.
Head. Old flammable face, and that's what they call them.
Yep.
It does go the distance, though. And we get a judge's decision.
It does obviously, go the distance, yeah.
Yeah, obviously the judge's decision is for Destructive Criticism. But more importantly, we get the interview with the team after the match, where Mick Foley says something along the lines of, oh, yeah, like, I never liked you guys anyway, so I'm glad the yous are gone. To which they go,
yeah. I mean, there's no one that Mick Foley hates more at all in this episode, to the point where it becomes distracting for the actual quality of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you who Mick Foley does like.
Uh-huh.
And that's from Colorado, Propellerhead.
Who wouldn't like Propellerhead? They have funky hats.
We do. Even Mick Foley has a funky hat because he likes him so much.
I mean, when has Mick Foley ever turned down a free hat?
A free anything?
Yeah.
And their opponent, from Minnesota, Falcon Mark II.
Oh, this robot is so slow and boring. It would be really awkward if it keeps on trying to flip and it just doesn't have the energy. And then propeller head just out of nowhere just drive
being good.
It would be really awkward if propeller head just randomly drove into the pit unprompted.
Yes. Oh wait.
That's exactly what happens.
Yes. Propeller had done so much work in this match. It done so much damage to Falcon. I forgot his name. Yeah. I was about to call it Panzer. It done so much damage to Falcon, and then it tried to get a bit, I don't know, cute, for lack of a better word. It opens the pit, and then apparently the interview afterwards, they say that the plan was to go round the back of the pit and get Falcon to try and follow them round, but misjudged it, turned too quickly, and that's what got them stuck in the lip of the pit. And then they used the propeller, which then forced them into the pit. So yeah. Falcon wins, even though it wasn't like Propeller Head was in any real danger.
Yeah.
Like, if Falcon was dominating this fight and Propeller Head went for that maneuver and then flubbed it, like, okay, I understand, at least you went and tried something, but you were, like, so on top that you didn't need to do this, and you just fucked it for yourself.
Yeah.
So, then Mick turned around and talks to the Falcon team. He says, well, Team Propeller Head gave me this sweet hat, and all Falcon have been giving me is attitude. And then the driver of Falcon, it goes, oh, I'll give you a hug, Mick, and then gives Mick a really awkward hug. And then as he pulls back, Mick just goes, don't ever touch me again. And then finishes the interview, and I can't remember if it's here or in the next fight. I think it might be here, where he prattles on, and then Mick goes, okay, you've talked too much now.
I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a presenter in one of these shows so obviously hate one robot.
Yeah, because then he just flat out tells him, see, now that the clowns are out, I hate yous the worst.
Oh.
Like, even to the point where, like, when we come back from break, he's, like, talking about what happened just before the break, and he's like, ah, when Propeller Head, and he does the stupid little spin that he does, and then he's like, Propeller Head drove himself into the pit, giving Falcon a trip to the next round, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Kayfabe, brother.
Yep.
But this takes us to our final first round match.
Yep.
From Oregon, Triceratops.
Which is it's another Juggernaut, this time with a flipper, and with something very flammable in its armor.
And its opponent, from North Carolina, Rocky Balboa.
Some people say that this robot reminds you of Mick Foley in his prime.
At least he had a prime.
Oh, right. Can I be... I think Rocky Balboa is hard done by here. So it's two pushing
same,
robots.
Same. Because... literally waiting for us to talk about the fight so that I can say I seriously think that Rocky Balboa won this, because when I wrote down in my notes it's a judge's decision, I wrote Rocky as the winner because I just thought he flat out won. So
I knew that Triceratops was, spoiler, in the final two.
Hey.
So I knew who won this, but yeah, it's the one thing I could maybe see the argument for is none of the damage done to Triceratops is by Rocky Balboa. So Rocky Balboa does get flipped by Triceratops. Triceratops feeds them to Sergeant Bash. Triceratops triggers the pit. And the time that what happens with Triceratops is it gets flipped over
by Shunt.
So it's not Rocky Balboa doing the act of flipping. And then what happens is Triceratops just happens to drive over the flame pit at the wrong time, and you just see the bottom of it ignite. And you're like, that's really bad, until you realize, oh no, that's just cardboard. That's fine.
But then you see Balboa, he gets it onto like another flame jet, like later on. And see, to be honest, by the end of the fight, what's his face? I was about to call it Panzer again. Jesus Christ, man. Am I just obsessed with this robot? Triceratops. By the end of the fight, Triceratops was struggling to move.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of thing where it's like, this was like another of these, you know, fights of this, a tale of two halves. And
oh, yeah.
I completely get what you're saying with the whole, oh, it wasn't Rocky that had done the flip or this or that. And it's like, yes, but still, like, it's that thing of like, that's going to come down to Triceratops driving as to whether or not it got hit by Shunt's axe and then flipped over. Going on the flame pit and all that sort of stuff, it's like that's all part of the match. Like, and to be honest, like it just seems like other than that one flip that Triceratops got on Rocky Balboa, that was really the only kind of main bit of offense that they got against them. So I mean, you can see when Mick Foley announced the victory for Triceratops and the judge's decision, like the look on that one dude's face, he was like, he actually like looked up to the heavens and went, oh, thank God, because I think even he thought that Triceratops was losing.
And also, fair play, I know I've kind of shit on the Duane Bingham's character that he's playing, but fair play to the guy. One, he does commit to the bit, and two, the second he loses, he shakes the guy's hand.
Like, he does. He still does it as like a boxer.
He still does it in character, but he does actually go out of his way to
give them props.
To give them props. So credit to him.
I know, and it's like it's that kind of thing where it's like, okay, well, like when we watched the Rocky Balboa episode, we kind of gave him a bit of shit. But when I watched this episode back with him, like the whole character became a lot more endearing to me for some reason.
Yes,
and I don't know if it's just because we also both really disliked the character that the dude from Falcon was playing, that like he made anything that Rocky Balboa did like null and void.
It's not that you're smarter, it's just that everyone around you has got so much dumber that you've gone up.
Yeah.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. Anyway, we go on to the semi-finals. And we have Destructive Criticism, a robot that reacts badly to being slammed against Panzer, aka yes. Slam Master General.
I thought you were going to say something else. Sorry, never mind. Slam Master Sexy.
Panzer, yeah, so... the one man slamming machine.
Big slammo himself. Wait a minute.
So, anyway, there is this brilliant moment, and it ends the fight, and it's basically Panzer slams into Destructive Criticism to trap him on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits the pit button, so it activates the pit, and then you just see Panzer goes in again and slams in again, and it puts Destructive Criticism back on its wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this moment of, as it lands, I know we've kind of said, this robot almost seems to suffer pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost see this robot just go, ow, I need orange slices. Ow, why did they install me with nerves?
Why did they build me to feel pain?
Yeah, because
it's like it falls off the wall and you just see the light literally dying from its eyes. And then just in this like really funny little moment, the ref bot kind of comes up and starts nudging Destructive Criticism, but it's nudging it by the weapon. So it just kind of looks like ref bot's like, hee-hee-hee-hee, spinny, spinny.
Anyway, we'll get on to the next match where
someone
is naked. Triceratops is looking very secondhand at this point. It's just covered in burnt cardboard.
We've run out of all our dinosaur.
Also, am I making this up, or did they skip immediately to the fight here? They didn't do any pre-match interviews. They're realizing for the first time all series is like, oh wait, we're actually struggling to get everything in.
Yeah, we actually need to fill an entire 45 minutes with their fights and not guff.
So it becomes very, very clear in this match. So, Triceratops versus Falcon. The one chance Falcon has is there is 7/8 of Triceratops is very high ground clearance.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Falcon is not fast enough to find the 7/8 of the robot.
Nah.
So it just gets bodied.
Oh yeah.
Again.
The entire fight.
Again. It's kind of like watching an old man fighting a very enthusiastic opponent. He can't get a hit.
No.
And the one saving grace it has is, well, it never gets pitted. So it does technically go to a judge's decision.
Despite the fact that, again, there was another weird smash cut where, like, the two of them were on the other side of the arena, and then the camera just changes, and all of a sudden Falcon is, like, literally in front of the pit, and I just thought, oh, well, there it goes. And then the match just kind of continued, and it was like, That was a weird choice then.
Yeah.
Because it was just the way that the cut happened is like, okay, that's going down the pit. No, it's not. Oh, it's the judge's decision. What the hell?
So, after all of this, we get the one and only time that Alan is going to comment on a post-match interview in a positive. The Falcon team, to give them credit, played into the gimmick and let Foley taunt them. I didn't realize I needed to hear Mick Foley maniacally laugh.
Yeah.
Also, I'm kind of sad he didn't do a Cactus Jack style laugh.
Maybe that's gimmick infringement.
But what we do get is as he taunts them, you suddenly hear the conquering clown horn.
And then Mick Foley's
Okay,
like, his
credit
shoulders
to
just
them.
drop.
There is that moment of just going, just a reminder, this is a man who rolls in thumbtacks and barbed wire for money.
I thought you were going to say for fun.
That
He just happens to get paid for it, but actually he enjoys doing it.
Yes.
Also, I just love the fact that it's like, I just can't help but feel as if like all the kind of our bit of doing wrestling references and coinciding them with robots like really all came together for this season.
On this episode that's on the same channel as WWE.
Yeah. So can't get made fun of this season.
Yep. So, Triceribot and Panzer. And it's kind of fitting in a way that it's the two best pusher bots in probably the first series where pusher bots have been the meta.
Yeah.
In terms
They
of
were. Go on. Sorry.
it's weird. It's because there hasn't really been a Hypnodisc level robot in terms of any robot that was as destructive as that has not been reliable. I think it's quite. And here's the thing. I know that there's this criticism of so many series. Oh, they just became Pusherbot versus Pusherbot.
Would you say it's destructive criticism?
They don't really. The only real series where that happens is maybe Series 7, and even then, I would argue purely in the grand final.
Yeah. Which is
This
obviously a
is.
match you're looking forward to.
We'll see. I think it's going to. I actually think, and I'm. I do think that Series 7 and Series 10 are the two best series of Robot Wars. Which is weird because they're the two that end up getting cancelled.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Triceratops and Panzer, when these two hit, you can hear the smack. Like, it's not even like that thing that BattleBots did with the gimmicking sound. No, you can actually hear the two hitting, and you go, ah! And we talked about the first robot, I mean, the first Juggerbot versus Panzer match, as being this really hard-hitting, back-and-forth, fast match. This one is brutal. They don't let up, either of them.
The thing that's
The one criticism I would have, Panzer has the job done twice.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
They have the job done twice, and both times they choose not to let
To
the
take
job be
it.
finished.
Yeah. And because of that, it goes to a judge's decision. But we'll get to that in a second. But no, like, I fully agree with you. Like this match was like insane. The two of them never let up. And the biggest point of the match was, it was only about maybe a minute in, if you were lucky, Panzer gets the perfect hit that has Triceratops stuck on the wall, or kind of like on the grinder kind of shell, I guess. And he was dead to rights there. He could not move, but Panzer backs up, comes in, hits it again, knocks it off, and then just proceeds to continue shoving the robot about for the rest of the fight, and then sets it up again at the very end of the fight on
the
wall
point
again.
Where you're going, oh, this is clever. They're still going, see, I have won the match. It's just the bell that's saving them. And then they knock them down again, and you're like, but why?
Either you're really confident, which is completely fair to be, obviously, but, you know, it's that thing that they always say in robot combat is you never want a match to go to a judge's decision, because for sometimes they tend to see things differently from the way everybody else does.
And also,
rotator beater.
Also, there is that fundamental problem as well of, what if your robot broke down? We've seen, I mean...
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned Razor earlier. How many matches would you have gone, Razor's won this match, oh wait, no, they haven't.
Oh, he's dead, and he's balancing on his own tail for some reason.
Yeah. But
Inquisitor.
Anyway. Our retaining champion.
Yes.
Which means that Panzer enters into a very elite club.
He does, yes.
Which, in a way, here's a question. Could you make the argument that the Mount Rushmore of robots should be Bite Force, Chaos 2, Biohazard, Hazard, and Panzer, a.k.a. the only, or maybe Dr. Inferno Jr., a.k.a. the only robots to win multiple championships.
Interesting. Yeah, I see if you look at it the way that we're looking at it, with a bit of everything, like... I feel like we should maybe try and coin this the ROTR Mount Rushmore.
The two Mount Rushmores, because that's eight robots.
Yes.
But I do think...
Well, we'll have one each.
Yes. But I do think, in terms of... I think Panzer is... I don't know why. The Panzer team just seemed to kind of get forgotten. I think it's probably because... The Panzer team never really got their due outside of, let's be frank, the least well-regarded Robot Wars series.
Yeah. Like, it's with that kind of thing that they should have maybe have gotten invite to, like, the next season if they could have done it.
I think it would have been interesting to see Panzer in a UK series. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like it could have potentially went pretty far.
Yeah.
And also the question is, like, don't know if you've looked at the... Because you seem to know a bit about the tag one that's coming up. Do you know if Panzer returns for these next couple episodes, or is that him done?
No, that's Panzer done for the next time we see Panzer. Well, we will see Panzer fairly soon, because they are a variant of them shows up in Robotica Series 3. Mm-hmm. It also says where they placed, but I'm not going to say that.
Woo. Yeah, let's keep that one till we get there.
Here's an interesting thing, though. Because I was just looking this up. Panzer has the best victory ratio in Robot Wars history. Of, like, teams that have had multiple matches. They've lost one match in their entire career.
And which match was that?
The Second World Championship.
Ah.
That's it. Every other match, because they didn't contest any of the side competitions in Series 1 or Series 2. Mm-hmm. They purely turned up, won the championship, left.
Left.
Which is quite incredible when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What a record to have.
Yeah, that's, fucking maybe about 98% winning record or something?
90% exactly. 9-1.
Oh, okay.
But there not only go. That, as I said, just purely the idea, they turn up, they win two championships, they leave. That's fucking Bite Force performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell, even Chaos 2, but even then, Chaos 2 suffered a loss or two, like, throughout that.
Yeah. So, we will be back next week, because even though the championship's over, Extreme Warriors limps on. Though actually, to be fair, the championship was never the highlight.
Yeah, the rest of the season looks like it's going to be a hoot.
And we're going to kick off the side events of Season 2 with Alan's favourite match. The most brutal match in Robot Wars. 6 robots enter. Only one can leave.
It's the Annihilator.